Session 8, Being Distinctive, Money. Well, today we're thinking about how our use of money should stand out from the culture that we live in. And here's a snapshot of that. It's a PayPal advert, and it says, "Nothing should get between you and everything," with a slogan underneath, "People rule." Here is Jesus. "A man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions." Well, perhaps you couldn't think of two more different approaches to possessions. It's easy to think that Jesus really only cares about spiritual things, like how much I read my Bible, whether I come to church, and how much I pray. But actually, 15% of everything Jesus says in the Gospels relates to money and possessions. We'll just get a snapshot today, and it begins with this: "Be thankful. Your resources are a gift from God." The Bible begins by introducing us to the God who made everything. God is not anti-stuff, he made it. And that means Christians mustn't be anti-stuff either. 1 Timothy 4 verse 4 says, "Everything God created is good, and nothing is to be rejected if it is received with thanksgiving, because it is consecrated by the word of God and prayer." Material things aren't bad. They're good gifts from God that we should be thankful for. And that means if we're able to enjoy a nice meal out, we shouldn't feel guilty, but thankful to God. If we're able to go on a summer holiday, we should enjoy it, but remember with thanks the God who has given it to us. The houses we live in, the cars we drive, the clothes we wear, all of them good gifts from God for which we should be thankful. And that applies to money itself. The money we have has been entrusted to us by God. So if we're wealthy, we shouldn't feel guilty about that. Instead, we should remember that it isn't ours. It is God's and has been entrusted to us by him. So be thankful. Your resources are a gift from God. Second, be careful. Your resources can take you away from God. There's no problem with money and resources themselves. The problem comes when we set our hearts on the gift and in the process reject the giver. And the Bible is full of warnings about this. Here is perhaps the most famous one, 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 6. "Those who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap and into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. Some people eager for money have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs." Now the warning is not about money itself, it is the love of money that is a root of all kinds of evil. When money becomes the thing that you live for. See, money can get a grip on our hearts like nothing else. And when it does, it is incredibly destructive. Families torn apart, companies in scandal, whole global economies shaken because of this love of money. And because it's an attitude towards money rather than money itself that is the problem, it's a danger for all of us, no matter how many or few resources we have. And the great danger is that money takes the place in our hearts that only God should have. In effect, money becomes our God, the thing that we live for. The Bible calls this idolatry, worshipping something God has made rather than God himself. But money makes a lousy God. You see, perhaps we look to money for security in life. But only God can provide lasting security. Perhaps we look to money for joy in life, but only God can provide lasting joy. Some of the most miserable people on the planet are also the richest. So if we spend a lot of time thinking and worrying about money, well, the Bible encourages us to ask, which God are you really serving and trusting, God or money? Or as Jesus says in Matthew 6 verse 24, "No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money." So we're to beware the love of money. We're also, though, to beware the subtlety of greed. This is Luke chapter 12, verse 13. Someone in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." Well, in this little story, we see the dangers of loving money played out in real time. Almost as soon as the funeral was over, the arguments began. Who got what? And sadly, it's a familiar scene today as well. And Jesus uses this dispute to issue a warning. Jesus replied, "Man, who appointed me a judge or arbiter between you?" Then he said to them, "Watch out. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed. A man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions." Why does Jesus tell them to watch out and be on your guard? Well, because greed is subtle. It's something we can slip into without even noticing. You see, not only is the love of money incredibly destructive, it's incredibly seductive. Oh, we're so used to greed, the greed that marks our world out, that we think it's normal. And that's why Jesus has to warn us, watch out, be on your guard. Do you really need the latest top-of-the-range phone? Or to upgrade your car again? Or to spend £50,000 more on a house that's bigger than you really need? Or to blow £100 or more clothes that you don't really need? It's very easy to set our standards by the world around us. And by those standards, we might even feel we're being quite restrained. But Jesus encourages us to watch our hearts. Because if we're not careful, they can be captivated by stuff. Never mind how we compare to others around us. Are we honouring God with the money that he has given us? And that takes us to our final point, which is this. Be wise. Use your resources now in the light of eternity. This is Luke chapter 12, verse 32. Jesus says to his disciples, "Do not be afraid, little flock. For your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give to the poor. Provide purses for yourselves that will not wear out, a treasure in heaven that will not be exhausted, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Perhaps we're a bit nervous when Jesus talks about selling our possessions and giving to the poor. We're happy to think about praying more or being kinder or more loving, but making substantial material changes to my life perhaps seems a bit extreme. And yet there's no dodging it. Jesus says it clear as day. So what does he mean? Well, let's work through the logic of the passage together. First point, God has already given us the best thing going. Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. Now there, Jesus is referring to the perfect new world that God has promised to bring in. It's a material place. It's a place that is completely unspoiled by sin and death. And it's a kingdom God has given through Jesus' death and resurrection. And it's where life is inevitably heading for those who trust in Jesus. True and eternal riches are awaiting. And that means that this world, well, it's a little bit like an airport terminal. You know how it is. Perhaps you're off on holiday, your bags have been checked in, and it's just an hour or so now to wait. Now, what you don't do at that point is start making it more like home, working out where to hang up the pictures, ordering a couple of beds on IKEA delivery. Neither do you get too worried if life in the terminal isn't as comfortable as it could be. And Jesus says we're to have the same kind of attitude to this world. You see, it all started back in verse 22, where Jesus said to the disciples, "I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, or about your body, what you will wear." You see, it's very tempting to get worried and bogged down about material possessions. But here Jesus says, don't be afraid. Your Father has given you the kingdom. You're in the terminal, and in just a short time, God will welcome you into his perfect kingdom. God has already given us the best thing going. And so secondly, we should use our resources now to store up treasure in heaven. That's why Jesus goes on to say, "Sell your possessions, give to the poor, provide purses for yourselves that will not wear out, a treasure in heaven that will not be exhausted, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys." You see, we might be in the terminal, but that doesn't mean our resources are insignificant. It just changes the way we use them. Instead of using them just for the here and now, we can use them in a way that makes an eternal difference. That's what Jesus means by treasure in heaven. See, the problem with storing up material possessions here and now is that they don't last. Thieves steal, moths destroy. But Jesus says it is possible to store up a treasure in heaven that will never be exhausted. We can do that by giving to the most needy in society. That's what Jesus refers to here. Giving to the poor. Actually, one of the key reasons the gospel spread so far in the early days was the generosity of believers, a key area of being distinctive from the world around. There are many other ways that we can use money now in a way that will ripple through to eternity. Perhaps giving money away to missionaries so others can hear about Jesus. Could be using our home as a place of love and hospitality. Could be giving your money or time or expertise to church so that the ministry can flourish. Perhaps even going part-time at work so that we can volunteer at church or in some other Christian ministry. It could mean downsizing and giving the surplus to kickstart a new gospel initiative. Now, those things might seem sacrificial and hard things to do. The world around might say, you're crazy. But if God really has given us his perfect kingdom for all eternity, well, surely we can give the temporary resources he has entrusted us with to help others get to that kingdom too. A treasure in heaven that will never wear out, that will last forever. Of course, that doesn't mean selling literally everything we have, but it will mean having a very different attitude to our resources to the world around us. And as we do this, it will shine out a wonderful light in the darkness we've been called out of. So be thankful. Your resources are a gift from God. Be careful. Your resources can take you away from God. And be wise. Use your resources now in the light of eternity.